Good morning. For a devotional this morning, I'd like to look at the book of Revelation. Now, you might think that's a pretty ambitious subject for a short devotional, but I'm not going to go in depth, just going to skim over some of the high points. First, I want to tell you a little about my personal experience with the book of Revelation. I used to think it wasn't a very interesting book. I thought it's just hard to understand prophecies and a whole lot of death and destruction, and the book just didn't interest me much. A number of years ago, I started to change my mind about it as I realized that it teaches us a lot about the nature and character of God. And there are also amazing images of worship in the book. So that's what I want to look at right now, is what we can learn about worship from the book of Revelation. First of all, one of my favorite verses or passages is chapter 1, 17 and 18. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. It's talking about a vision of Jesus here. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one, and I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades." I read this verse in my personal devotions shortly after Sheldon died, a number of years ago, though, and we had several deaths that year, and don't think I ever told my mom this. Back then, I hadn't yet got my cell phone entered into the church one call now. And for a while there, whenever my mom called me, I got a little worried. I thought, oh no, who's died now? But anyway, there were several deaths that year. And this verse really jumped out at me, that Jesus has the keys of death. Now, a key is a symbol of power. So if I gave you a key to my house or my car, I would be giving you a measure of power over my property. And notice what Jesus says here about his power over death. He says, "I was dead, but now I'm alive." And that is what has given Jesus' sacrificial death gave him the power over death. Now I want to read, I'll read the chapter 4 in its entirety. "After these things I looked..." Oh, I'm reading in the New American Standard. "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things.' Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf. The third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." Now, some people could spend hours debating some of the details in this chapter. You know, why are there 24 elders? Why not 23 or 25? Why do the beasts have six wings? Well, I think if we needed to know those things, the Bible would explain it. The point of this chapter is the picture of God's creation worshiping him. And notice what it says. You are worthy because you have created all things. So the creation owes God worship, God the Creator. Moving on to chapter 5, verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now that verse tells us... excuse me. This verse tells us something interesting about prayer. It's pretty easy to make prayer just a list of requests that you're coming to God with. This verse shows prayers as an offering to God. How often do you think about that when you're praying? Do you think of your prayers as an offering to God? I want to try to remember that in the future when I'm praying, try to change the way I feel about prayer. Going on to chapter 8, verses 3 and 5, also talks about prayer as incense. Another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth, and there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. Now, here's a rather strange picture. The prayers of the saints mixed with the judgment of God. And I'm not going to claim to understand that, but it does make me think of 1 Corinthians when it says the saints will judge the world. I don't know. That's all I have to say about that. I haven't thought about that in depth. Moving on to chapter 19 now. Starting at verse 1. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous. For he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. And a second time they said, Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever. Now, the first time Jesus came to earth, he came to sacrifice himself. He came as a meek, nonviolent, a lamb, like the Lamb of God. The second time he comes, he will come as a judge. He'll come. So in these verses here, we get a picture of Jesus as judge and avenger. Moving on to verse 4. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came from the throne saying, Give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. I really like these images. The images of worship, the images of God's power and his glory. And that is the God that we are here to worship this morning. So let's turn our hearts to him through the rest of this service. Let's bow our heads for prayer. God, we praise you because you have the power over death, and you are the creator. And as your creation, we worship you and we thank you for everything that you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.